Can you hear me? Is this inadequate?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, good. So promptly at 10:15, we're getting started.
This is making sense.
Again.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so if the convocation convocated, it's not even a word, if the convocation happened at 10:15, we could start at 10:15. So get here as promptly as you can. I assume that you are registered and have checked your name off on the registration list. If you are registering today, if you're not on that list, you're not registered. So you register by filling out a registration form completely, please, and bringing it to the office, and then you're on the list for next week. So I assume that everybody has sitting here has either checked their name off or registered. Email list. If you are not on our email list, there is what color is it?
Well, it should be the first thing. It's okay. White.
Okay, so there's something on the table that
it has red writing that says writing capital letters.
Okay, so pay attention to the writing on the email list, which actually tells you to make it legible. Otherwise, Robert can add it to the email list. But that's the way that I notify you of anything special you need to bring or anything I need to notify you about. I notify you that way. Otherwise, it has to be through your pipeline email that you don't even know you have. And you definitely don't want to hunt through all the bake sales on your pipeline email. Maybe you do. Art fair. On April 3rd, our last class, part of the class is we have an art fair. That is, people bring in their art, and they put it around the room, and we get to look at it and see how amazingly creative and wonderful people in this class are. So bring in some of your art on April 3rd. Okay? Mind Supermind is on April 20th in this room. Depending on to what extent the word gets out, that ticket may become rare and the hottest ticket in town. If the word doesn't get out, then it'll just be a nice full crowd here. So I would suggest that if you have any interest in what I'm about to talk about for just a little bit, that you check out Mind Supermind and get a ticket now. Next week, in this class, unless I thought my fingers crossed, we've been trying to engineer this for a year. Supposedly next week, Dr. Jonathan Schuler of the UCSB Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences is going to come and we're going to interview him. Jonathan Schuler is very well known as a consciousness researcher. So we'll get his take on what consciousness is and what is and isn't conscious and where did it come from and where is it going. I'm going to ask him a couple of small questions and then you can ask him whatever questions puzzle you. He's a real outgoing, fascinating guy. And don't you think so, Robert?
He's my buddy.
Robert works in his laboratory at UCSB and was instrumental in helping me persuade him, entice him, browbeat him to get up here. Okay, Peter.
So tomorrow is my class on getting in contact with your higher self, getting guidance for every issue, starting at 9. All right.
Is it on?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Wait. Let me... Hello? Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Okay, put it here.
Put it close to you.
Starting over. Tomorrow is my class on getting in contact with your higher self, starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow. It's part one. And part two will be following Saturday. It's $35. Sign up today. We've moved to a larger classroom to accommodate those who've already signed up. So look forward to joining that you join me there.
Oh, thank you.
Where is the class?
It'll be in room 31 tomorrow. Here.
Okay.
So room 31 is accustomed to alter to enrich states of consciousness. Some of you have done Adventures in Consciousness in that class where we lie around in a circle and stuff like this. This is Adventures in Consciousness progressed and in the hands of a master. Bernie.
I just want to say that Lori and I talked
Peter the other day on a Cree consultation hypnotically, and it was incredible. I have slept like a baby without any sleeping problems since I got home.
Ah.
I'm sure I'd share that.
Okay, any other, okay, Robert, yeah. Put your clothes.
In addition to working for Schooler, I have a new gig writing for the Montecito Journal. I'm not sure if my column will be regular or not, but the first article came out in the current issue of Montecito Journal, and it's called What is Truth? So it may be of interest to people in this class. So pick up the current issue of Montecito Journal and look for my column, What is Truth?
And your name?
His name is Robert Bernstein, and truth, isn't that something that used to exist? Michael.
This weekend, Deckers is having a once-a-year outdoor parking lot sale. The deep discount, 60-70% at the Earl Warren Showground. So lots of cool brands like Uggs, Teva, Hoka, running. So to promote comfort, health, and I think consciousness.
Okay, so that's at the Earl Warren Showground starting about 9 tomorrow is the Deckers annual get rid of it sale. Fantastic. Okay. All right, so mindfulness.
Do you want me to make an announcement?
Not yet. Next week.
Okay.
Next week. All right, so. A little about mindfulness, then we'll sit for 10 minutes, and then we'll charge into our lesson for today. All right, mindfulness. We haven't talked in a little while about spaciousness, so I'll just say a little bit about that. One way to look at what you're doing when you're becoming mindful is you're becoming more open. You're becoming more spacious, less condensed, less solid, less narrow. And you're becoming more open, more spacious on, I think, three levels. One way to look at it is three levels. One level is the level of your body. When you sit and you breathe, you're bringing your attention to your full body. And then you can feel or you can allow. Because it's not a question of doing this, it's a question of allowing it to be done. You can feel your body softening. You can feel your body opening. You can feel the tension that you carry releasing. And it's a subtle feeling, but it's a clear feeling that you are opening up. It feels as though the edges of your body start to kind of move outward, and you become broader and higher and deeper and wider to the rear. So and it's not something that you're imagining. It's something that you're feeling as your body unknots, as your body releases, as your body opens. So as you breathe and you feel the consciousness in your entire body, you feel with each breath that you're kind of gradually allowing this opening process to happen in your body so that your body becomes almost like it's hollow, almost like it's not there, and there's a breathing and there's a wide open awareness, and sensations can come right through, sounds or sense of touch or anything else, just comes right through because there's nothing blocking it. So you're just a wide open body, mind. Instead of your thoughts being narrow and your forehead being contracted, and your concentration being very focused. As you breathe, you allow the head to open up. You allow the face and the head to open up. And you allow the mind to open up so that your mind becomes airy, light, open. And thoughts can come and go absolutely without impedance. You're not trying to block them or change them. You're allowing them to move through the air, the sky, the spaciousness of your awareness. So the thoughts just come and go, and you just notice them. There's a thought, there's a thought, there's a thought. And you can be interested in them, but you don't get absorbed in them. You don't take them too seriously. They're just the stuff that's going on in your mind at a certain conscious level. Some of which is useful, some of which is totally nonsensical, some of which is completely hurtful. And as you watch this, as you become spacious in your mind, you just notice the show and you get to understand why these things arise and what their value is and what to do about some of them. And you do that from this breathing, body open, mind open, allowing perspective. And then the third thing that you open is your heart. And by your heart, for some of us, I mean our gut too, and the whole body, and the deep heart, which is kind of the spiritual heart. But for shorthand's sake, let's just talk about the heart. That is, as you allow this area to open up, as you allow this area to release, as you allow this area to become less dense, more spacious, then feelings can come and go easily, without any resistance. They can well up, they can do what they do, they can subside. You're just a wide open being in body, mind, and heart. And in this spacious awareness, this unbounded awareness, phenomena happen. This happens, that happens, this happens, thoughts happen, sensations happen, emotions happen, and you just breathe and become ever more spacious. Okay, that's the theory. Let's do the practice. So let's sit for 10 minutes.
Apologies for ringing the bell for those of you who are just settling into a lovely meditation.
I want to tell you one thing just very briefly before we go into the lesson for today. About 3 days ago, I received in the mail my monthly APA Monitor on Psychology, a magazine that goes out to all the members of the American Psychological Association. And I thought that something was wrong with me, that I was hallucinating, because on the front cover of the latest APA Monitor, in large black type, the headline article is Psychedelic Psychotherapy. This is a very conservative organization that we're talking about. And this article signals the fact that psychedelics have not only moved into the cultural conversation, but have moved into serious consideration as beneficial in at least a therapeutic setting. And so this article, which was a very good article, a lot of the articles in here are kind of, they don't say anything, but this article talks about a lot of the research. And they don't. Some of the things, they treat great subjects in completely vacuous ways. I'm like, why am I reading this? But this article really, study after study, talked about the research that is going on. Apparently, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has fast-tracked both psilocybin and MDMA as breakthrough therapies. And so the clinical trials are going very swiftly. So what are they using? Just real quickly, psilocybin is being used in a bunch of clinical trials. Psilocybin is the active ingredient of magic mushrooms, and it's especially being used for end-of-life anxiety, for depression, and for addiction to alcohol and tobacco. Those are some of the studies that are being run. MDMA, ecstasy, is being used for PTSD with great success. They're in phase three trials, which means it'll be a prescription medication really soon. Those are the ones that mostly they talk about. Ketamine was in low dose was just I think approved in the UK as a treatment, a prescription treatment for depression. And I know that there's a guy at Cottage who's been using it in large dose for people who are quite depressed and with quite good success. I had one student who totally was transformed by Terry Early's Cottage Hospital treatment. Ayahuasca is being used all over the place for a lot of stuff. Ibogaine is really promising for addictions, especially opioid addictions, and it's been used in Ibogaine is an African psychedelic. It's been used in both Canada and Mexico legally for quite a while as an addiction reverser. LSD is being investigated in several places for, I don't know what, I don't remember what, but I think depression, maybe end-of-life anxiety also. I don't know which one is being used for anorexia, but there's one that's being used for anorexia also. Oh, and MDMA is being used for as a possible treatment for autism. It's because it makes people more empathic, and people with autism sometimes have trouble reading other people's emotional signals and responding to them. So that just gives you an idea that the stuff that was widely used a long time ago and then got made illegal is now being looked at in a much more sober way, for want of a better word. Anyway, that's just letting you know what's going on. All right, so today's class is about well-being and happiness. Subjects which we have touched before, but we're going to look at them from some slightly different angles than we have. And I'm going to do that by way of two videos and some discussion. But before I show you the first video, I want you to know about an opportunity. You know who Dan Siegel is? He's a UCLA professor who is all over the place with regard to mindfulness and neuroscience and how social relationships affect the brain and how the brain affects social relationships. Anyway, Dan Siegel has been brought to Santa Barbara City College for a full day today by the Santa Barbara Foundation and another group at City College. And as part of that, he's giving a free lecture from 3:30 to 5 at the BC Forum, which is a very nice auditorium on the West Campus next to the Garden Theater. And I phoned security, and starting at 3 o'clock today, you don't have to have a parking sticker. So if anybody wants to go over there, you just go to the West Campus, where the Garden Theater is, and you park anywhere in those lots, and by any time after 3, and at 3:30 to 5, he lectures at the BC Forum.
What's that about, BC Forum?
The Business Communication Forum. So you ask anybody wandering around where the BC Forum is, it's in the Business Communication Building, which is the first building you'll see after you see the parking lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's at SBCC?
Yeah, it's at SBCC. Also, if you haven't wandered around SBCC in a while, you get to wander around free now. Starting at 3 o'clock, the West Campus lots are open.
Is he giving free ecstasy? Yeah.
No, but just ask a kid. Never mind. Okay, so the first thing that I'm going to do is show you a video of Dan Siegel's, which I think is of the 10 or so that I've seen in the past week trying to find one. This one is the one that I think is the most cogent and clear. So this is one that he gave, this is a talk he gave in Prague in 2013. So I will show this to you, and then we'll talk a little about what we learned, because after you hear Dan Siegel, you have to ask yourself, what? You'll see. So that means we have to set the room up for a video, okay? Which means I...
It does look like an earring.
Looks good.